The uprising in Egypt has reopened an old debate about what the United States should do at sensitive moments in volatile places. Some argue America should stand clearly and firmly with the forces of democracy. An alternative view, U.S. policy should be based solely on American strategic interests. NPR's Tom Gelton has this report on that debate.
For the last 30 years, the United States has wanted three big things from Egypt: maintaining peace with Israel, keeping the Suez Canal open, and supporting the fight against al-Qaeda and other extremist groups. These are vital U.S. interests. Republican and Democratic administrations alike have ranked them above human rights and Egyptian democracy. It's meant supporting President Hosni Mubarak, no matter his faults. Many in the U.S. government still think American policy toward Egypt should be based on these vital U.S. interests. But with the upheaval in Egypt, it's no longer clear what that means in practice. On one side are those who say nothing has changed, that the United States should stick with the Mubarak government and not be swayed by all the people demonstrating for democracy. Here's John Bolton, who served as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under President George W. Bush. He spoke on Fox News in the early days of the Egyptian uprising.
We have a profound interest in the stability of the Israeli-Egyptian peace relationship. We've got an enormously strong relationship with the Egyptian military. Mubarak has been an American ally for 30 years. These are not things you toss away lightly against the promise, the hope for sweetness and light in democratic government.
The argument here is that if the people in Egypt or elsewhere in the Middle East get to choose their leaders freely, they might elect governments that are hostile to Israel and to U.S. interests. Ray Take is a Middle East scholar at the Council on Foreign Relations.
In any kind of a democratic Middle East, I think the force that is going to come to surface is going to be nationalism. And the question of Arab-Israeli peacemaking is likely to suffer some kind of a setback.
So that's a risk that democracy poses. But some staunch defenders of Israel and U.S. interests say there could alternatively be a strategic payoff in supporting Egyptian democracy. Elliot Abrams, who advised George W. Bush on Middle East policy, agrees that a new parliament in Egypt, one that's not a rubber stamp, could empower extremist groups who'd want to stand up to Israel, the Muslim Brotherhood, for example. But Abrams thinks they might be outnumbered.
The hope would be that you get a debate in Egypt for the first time over relations with Israel, and that that debate is won by people saying, we don't want a war with Israel.
Abrams argues that the key to achieving stability in Egypt and the rest of the Middle East is building the political center. In this sense, the significant risk to U.S. interest comes not from supporting democracy, but from opposing it and sticking with autocrats like Hosni Mubarak.
This guy has ruled Egypt for 30 years. And as he leaves, the Muslim Brotherhood is stronger than ever. Why? Because he was actually crushing the center, not the Brotherhood.
Of course, with the political center crushed in Egypt, the road ahead remains risky. New governments in Egypt and elsewhere might be less friendly to the United States. Cooperation in counterterrorism could suffer. U.S. military access to the Suez Canal could even be jeopardized. The key U.S. interests all put at risk. On the other hand, says Ray Take, these challenges might not look so serious if these governments are successful at reforming their economies and modernizing their societies.
So if the region managed to stabilize itself and become more self-governing and its economy is more self-sufficient and equitable in terms of distribution of wealth, if the region is at peace with itself, then it may not actually require an external guarantor.
That's been a U.S. role until now, guaranteeing stability and security. But it has come at the cost of democracy, and in this high-risk region, it is that cost that must now be recalculated. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.